Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
And I want you to welcome the man of God for the hour, bringing you the word on standing on the promises. Welcome your pastor, John Mitchell.
Wow. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And if you would, turn your Bibles to Romans, the fourth chapter. I tell you, God is so good. And I just want to share some things with you that he's put on my heart to share with you this morning. Standing on his promises. How many know the promises of God are yes and amen? Get myself together here. All right. Okay. As I was preparing for this message, I think Pastor Terry asked me Monday, and I tell you, it seemed like after Monday, everything just seemed like it. Have you ever had one of those weeks that just seemed like, man, God, when am I going to get a break? You know, and I thought, well, what's going on here? I said, let me just settle myself down here a little bit. Amen. You know, but I know that we're in, whether you realize it or not, I realize that we're in, you know, in intense warfare, you know, and not only with the flu and all the things that's going on, you know, I tell you, you know, we don't have to fear that stuff like Pastor Terry was saying, but we do have to quit fiddling around. You know, ever since Miss Brenda, the Lord gave her that word, you know, I think, you know, sometimes when God gives us something, we think, well, that was a good word. But how many know we got to quit fiddling around? You know, I think, you know, another word for it, we got to quit playing around. You know, quit playing the church and be the church. You know, and I was awoken this morning with this thought. And, you know, I want to share it. I don't know if it's someone here like this or not, but I feel it is because God gave it to me, because I really wasn't thinking about this. I was meditating on the message. And when we stand on the promises of God, how many know it's going to take trust? And I believe, you know, I believe the Spirit of God dropped something in my spirit this morning that we have to be aware of. That sometimes it's hard to trust when you have trust issues. But what God want to do is take those trust issues and you bring them to the cross. That's what he want to do. And he want to remove the distrust that you have been inflicted in your life through the life itself, through your journey, if that makes sense. Because many a times we wonder, well, I want to trust God, but there is something I can't really relate. I trust him because my dad or some situation happened. But we can take those things to the cross and put them there, and God can release us to begin to have faith and trust to believe him as Papa God. So if that's you this morning, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. How many, if you have trust issues, just kind of raise your hand, okay? Okay. Now, what I want you to do is come around the altar. Where's Pastor Charlie at? Is he still here? He's not here? Okay. Okay, that's fine. Where is, if you have problems with trust, just come on. We're gonna pray now. You know, we're going to bring that to the cross. Yeah. We're going to bring it to the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Yes, I'm just spread down this way a little bit, if you like. It don't matter. Just the cross is here before you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and you that don't have trust issues, be praying with these, okay? You know, God is going to do the work. I'm not the one that's doing the work. God is. The Holy Spirit is going to do the work. And all he's asking you to do is just close your eyes right now. And that thing that calls you to be in a place to where you can't trust, the thing that happened in your life that caused you not to trust. Holy Spirit, we ask you to begin to do inventory on the hearts of these people today. Lord, you see where the trust was broken. You see what happened, Father, when they said, I just can't trust. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that you begin to break it off of them right now. In the name of Jesus. Break it off right now. We take authority over this right now, God, and we release faith which worketh by love in them right now, Father. Holy Spirit, we ask you to begin to minister to the hearts of these people today. God, that's having trouble trusting. And God, we bring this issue to you and we leave it here at the cross today. Because the cross have paid it all. The cross, Jesus paid it all on the cross. He shedded his blood. He was whipped. He was bruised. He was crushed for you to be free of this right now. Abandonment, loneliness, go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you right now, God, that you replace it with faith in their hearts, in their spirits, Lord. To God, where they'll be able to trust you regardless of whatever they go through, Lord. And God, we pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just give him some praise. Amen. Just lift your hands and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hold on 1 second. Just hold where you're at.
Yes, there we are. One of the things that we need to do as the people of God, when we have a time of ministry and we ask the Lord and we're in agreement with what Pastor John is saying and what the Lord is saying through him, and we make that agreement, and that is our confession, is our agreement with him, with God. But what we need to do is our agreement with God needs to be spoken.
Spoken, yes.
It needs to be released in our voice, because their agreement is with God. Mm-hmm. Then we need to speak it, and we need to be able to confess in that way, to speak it with our tongue, because mm-hmm. there's power in your tongue.
Yes.
There's life and death in your tongue. And you need to be able to speak it not just to yourself, but to others. Right? Mm-hmm. And out of Romans, it talks about the confession of your mouth mm-hmm. and the believing in your heart brings about the deliverance, brings about the salvation. Mm-hmm. So it's your heart belief and your open confession of agreeing with God mm-hmm. that I trust him. See, but this thing is not about you trusting man. Mm-hmm. Trust in man is earned. That's what trustworthy means. If they're worthy of your trust, then you can give them. But if they're not worthy of your trust, then you don't trust them. Does that make sense? Let's see, we always should trust God. So whatever it is that is hanging us up concerning the things between us and God, we say, well, I want to trust you, and I agree with you that I need to be in complete trust mm-hmm. in you. So what I'd like for you to do is just take a moment to confess mm-hmm. to each other about your trust in God. So would you do that just right here? Just do it with each other.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Which means tell somebody.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. All right. Now, when you go back, I want you to tell the person that you're sitting beside, confess your trust to the Lord, to them, of your Lord to them. Amen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let it come out of your mouth.
Amen. Yes.
That you're agreeing with God, that he's trustworthy, and you're giving him your trust.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Good. Good stuff, isn't it? Amen. How many know God is great and greatly to be praised? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and that's so true, you know, because we got to understand something about voice. You know, the kingdom of God is mobile activated, but it's also voice activated. You know, you got to say. See, that's why the Bible says, let the redeemer of the Lord do what? Say so. You know, so we just thank God for, thank you, for Pastor, for explaining that so well, you know, that we got to begin to speak, you know, what the words say, you know. And you know, it's simple because the Bible said, you know, in order to be saved, you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and thou shalt be saved. You know, the same faith it took you to get saved is the same faith that gets you healed. It's the same faith that gives you victory. You know, but sometimes we want to compartment, you know, we want to department this thing. You know, well, I can do it here, but I can't do it here. But how many know the word of God is wherever I go? The power of God is wherever I'm at. Amen. I don't have to lay hands on the sick in here and get healed. How many know we can lay hands on the sick out there and be healed? Amen. But if we only compartmentalize this, you know, we're only experiencing it when we get in church. But how many know that we ought to be experiencing it all the time because this is our life? Okay? All right. So you're in Romans 4. Okay. It says, what then should we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? You know, and as you read this, how many know that's a question? What did Abraham find? When you go back to Genesis 12, you'll see that God told Abraham to leave his country, to follow him. But God also told Abraham, he said, look, I will bless you, and those who bless you, I will bless them, and those who curse you, I will curse them. And I will make thy name great. I'll make nations of thee. You know, and God was telling Abraham these things, but do you not know that the encounter with Abraham and God was way before the law was ever given? So a lot of people think, well, you know, that's the law. No, Abraham, the law came after this, but how many know Abraham had a relationship with God based on what God said? So Abraham found out that there is a God, not an idol God, but a true and living God that I can put my trust in. But how many know on Abraham's journey, he wasn't trusting God when he first started out. If you go back and read the history of Abraham, you'll see that there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt, and Abraham told Sarah, he said, now we're going down here, but now I want you to tell them you my sister because you're a fine woman and they're going to be wanting you. So you tell them you my sister. Maybe perhaps because you're my sister, they won't kill me. How many know it's always that me in the way? And how many know God works on that me as we begin the journey with him? He begins to bring that me to him. So what happened was Abraham went on his journey, but what happened was that when Abraham did this, how many know he lied partially because she was his stepsister, but that wasn't what Abraham was referring to. Abraham was trying to save his hide, right? So, you know, you say, well, how is God going to bless somebody that's lying like that? See, remember, this is his beginning of his journey. And you and I have to understand, in order to stand on the promises of God, that it's a journey. We learn as we journey with God. And what we have to understand was that what God was doing, he was allowing Abraham to begin to be himself. Because God already knew what was in Abraham's heart. But what God was saying was he gave Abraham a word, but how many know Abraham's faith hadn't been developed to trust God at that time? And this is where we have to understand that the question is, what did Abraham find? Okay? I believe what Abraham found in God was that he's a God that would do just what he say. He's a God that will protect you when you don't even know how to protect yourself. He's a God that will provide for you when you want to lie to try to cover yourself. Because what God did to the king was, he told him, look, if you touch that woman, oh, why? Because that was part of Abraham. And the king said, now, what in the world have you done to us? God is about to kill us on account of you lying. Come on, man, what you doing here? Why didn't you tell me this was your sister? He said, you take this woman and get you some camels and get you all some stuff and get out of here. Why? Because the divine protection of God. And this is what we have to understand, church, that when we are born again by the Spirit of God, God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is proof that we're his. Because the Bible said that if we have not the Spirit of God, we're none of his. So it's the Spirit of God that connects me to God. So on the journey, I've made a lot of mistakes. I made boohoo mistakes in trial and error, but God didn't forsake me. I want to tell you something. That was a time that when Sister Faye and I, when we first got married, you know, we loved God, we were saved, but, you know, we were scrapping pennies. We was living from paycheck to paycheck, trying to pay Paul to skate Peter. You know, y'all ain't never went through nothing like that. But we went through some stuff. And, you know, I was the only one working and had three kids at this time. And me and her was mostly kids anyway. I think we was, what, 19? Maybe I should have asked her, can I preach this? No. But the experience that we encounter with God on the journey is bringing us to a much bigger place that we can trust him. So that's why we can't quit just because things are tough right now. We got to begin to build on the promises of God, because Abraham, this is what he did, that he trusted God to the place to where God visited him over and over again until. Now, I got to paraphrase some of this because it would take me hours and hours to unfold all this, okay? So I'm going to paraphrase some of this. So what God would do, he would come to Abraham and he would say, Abraham, I want you to look. I want you to look to the east. I want you to look to the west. I want you to look to the south and the north. I want you to look at all this land I'm going to give you. And all this land will be your descendants. As much as you can, if you can count, now catch this. God said, if you can count the dust of the earth, that's how larger your descendants is going to be. I mean, you know, you can't count. Dust is gone. But what God was doing, he's building vision in Abraham. He's given Abraham some visuals. Then he takes him, and then, you know, Abraham, he goes again, and then God says, look, come over here, Abraham. Come and walk with me. Look at the stars. Abraham said, wow. See, in the history of Abraham, as a little boy, he was always observing, you know, creation. So he was looking at the stars and he said, if you can number those stars, Abraham, this is how big your family is going to be. He's given Abraham a vision of the promise that he have made. Now, this is tangible. And then he told Abraham, he said, look, he said, all this I'm going to give you. This is the way your descendants are going to be, Abraham. And guess what? Abraham looked at God and he said, Yeah, but I don't even have a child. God said, I know that. You think I don't know that, Abraham? I know that, Abraham. So what Abraham did, he said, look, how can this be that I'm childish? I don't have a child. I don't have an heir. So Sarah goes to Abraham, and Sarah says, you know what? Let's help God out. How many of you have been there and done that now? Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, plan A ain't working. I got plan B. God taking too long. So, Abraham, I'll tell you what. What you need to do is just go into my maid here. Go on into her. Maybe, perhaps, we can have some heirs through her. God visited Abraham again. He said, no, the heir is coming out of you, Abraham. Your heir is coming. The seed is coming out of you. But what about Ishmael here? How many know that God said that is not the promise? That's flesh motivated. See, the flesh will never replace the promise. What you try to do in the flesh will never replace what God has promised you in the Word of God. So what God was doing, he was giving Abraham visuals to build his faith. So Abraham began to move, and he began to see, okay, this God ain't playing. This God will do just what he say. So then God visited him again. There was things going on to where his nephew Lot got in some trouble down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham had to go and bail him out. God delivered him, gave him all kind of victories, you know, and God would tell Abraham again, you're going to have a son. And Abraham laughed. God set him up again, because guess what? You're going to have a son, and his name is going to be Isaac, which means laughter. Now, you go ahead and laugh at that. So Abraham was laughing. Now, I want to take you to this because the whole chapter here is all about Abraham. But Abraham, I'm trying to build a foundation to get you to see that through the process, say process, Abraham trusted God to the place to where when God said, the ultimate test is this, give me your son. See, God don't test you with evil, but the word that he's spoken to you will be tried and tested by God. Well, God, how are you going to test your own word? Because I'm God. I can do that. But it's not to test the word, it's to test your faith in the word. Amen? So God told me, he said, now take your son. Abraham didn't even blink an eye. Because you know why? This is the promise. He can't renege on it. Abraham is wising up now. See how his faith is developing. So he saddles up the donkey, get all the wood for the sacrifice, and his son say, Dad, where is the sacrifice? Oh, God will provide. Come on, son, we got to go. Not knowing you it. But he didn't tell him that because Abraham knew God was going to provide even if he had to raise him up from the dead. Now watch this. These are the words of Abraham. They bring his servants is down here. This is what Abraham said. He said, look, me and the lad is going to go yonder to worship, but we'll return. Go back and read it. We will return. Now, if you're going to kill him, how's he going to return? Because Abraham knew God. He had developed his faith in God's soul to where he was trusting God that if you slay my son, you will resurrect him. See, some of your stuff look dead, and some of it need to die. Before is you, God gonna resurrect. Why? Because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and it will quicken your mortal body. But let's get back to the story of Abraham. So Abraham goes and he's working and getting an altar ready for this sacrifice, you know. And he get him on there, you know, and he says, the lad says, God, where is the sacrifice lamb? Yeah, God will provide, son. Come on. Now, think about this. This wasn't just a little tilly talk. There was something in Isaac that trusted dad, too. Because had it have been me, I'd have been screaming and kicking, buddy. No, Dad, no, not the altar. But he laid there in submission to his dad. Kids, let me give you a promise. Honor your father and mother that your days will be longer upon the land. That's a promise. Stand on that promise. How do I honor mom and dad? Quit mouthing back. Quit having them tantrum. Quit having them tantrum. It's not my time. No, Johnny did it. No. I always have to take the garbage out. Parents, you can say, amen. You say, oh, no. You know, now they do this. Why I got to do it? Oh, Jesus, if you'd have came up in the Mitchell's house. Ooh. You'd have been, whew, that's a back. I sweat just thinking about that. Ooh, Lord. I'm telling you. People say, that's just the times we're living in. The word of God is still right. And we need to train our kids and let them know we love you. We want you to have your freedom, but we got to set some boundaries here. I'm the parent. I'm not your friend. I thought I'd throw that in there, but let's get back to Abraham. But do you understand? This young lad submitted to the father. And when Abraham got to the point to where he had brought back the knife, dagger, to take him out, the angel of the Lord said, hold it! Look over there. There's something caught in the thicket. A ram for the sacrifice. Don't harm your son, Abraham. Jehovah Jireh is providing for you a ram for the sacrifice. See, when we stand on the promises, sometimes it looks like we're going to lose our life. It looks like it's going to be all over, said and done. But if God have given you a promise, let me tell you something. He's duty bound to fulfill that promise. See, all you're doing is going through the process for God to work out all the unbelief. And what God is doing is setting you up to bring you to a place to where you totally trust him and abandon your own carnal answers. That's what he's doing. And many a times we think, well, I don't understand why I have to go through this. See, Sister Faye and I, when we were growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. I can only testify to what God did for us. I'm not boasting, but I'm sharing with you that there were times that I would have to get out and go to the woods and cut down a tree for the firewood. And people holler, well, you know, John, you ain't got faith, son. You know, and they will just be laughing at me, you know, and God would just be, he's training me to trust him. Amen. You know, and I remember one Sunday we came home from church and the fire had went out in the wood stove. And we didn't have no wood. And I said, God, what are we going to do now, God? What are we going to do? You know, and I got in my car. I took my axe and I rode over to just riding on a country road, and that was an old sawmill. Y'all don't know what slabs. Some of y'all young folks might not understand this, but that was some slabs. Slabs. You know, slabs is the wood that you'd shin off the tree, you know, to make kindling wood to start your fire. You know, so I throw that old station wagon door open, and I went out there and I got me some slabs. And then this guy see me, he said, "What are you doing there?" I said, "I'm getting me some firewood." He said, "Oh, you burn wood?" He said, "Hey, look, I got some trees over here that's dead. You welcome to them. Come and get all you want." Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then I had some little helpers. So I said, "Y'all come on, go with Daddy. We're going to get some wood. Here we go, me and the kids, just going to get wood." Now, some people say, well, you know, and I had this guy in the church, he would tell me, he said, "John," he said, "if you was living right, God wouldn't be doing all that to you." You know, and I didn't have no better sense than belief, because I just got saved. You know, we young in the Lord, and I'm, you know, okay, see, okay, because you wasn't doing it. I was, okay, no. But anyway, it taught me to trust God. I remember getting this book by Gloria Copeland, and she was talking about the will of God is the word of God. So it started me on a journey reading the word of God. So when people would tell me it wasn't God's will, I figured I already had read it's God's will that I provide for my family. So by all means, I'm going to provide for my family. Now, listen to this. God blessed me with more wood than I could ever imagine, because I didn't have money to buy it. Huh? Yes, baby, free wood. It was free wood. Why? Because God was showing me, "John, just trust me. I know it's hard. I know that people have told you name it and claim it, and it's going to happen. But I'm going to show you the way of the kingdom." So God started doing little things. I mean, he started setting me up, Sister Martha. He would set me up. We pay our tithes, and then I look at my wife, I say, "Is that all the money we got left?" "Yeah, honey, that's it." So I get on my knees. "Oh, Lord Jesus, God, we got to have something, Lord. I got to feed my babies, Lord Jesus. We got to have money, you know." And every time, God never failed. Amen. Never failed. I read the word of God. It said he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You know what I did? I believed that, and I started putting some faith, putting some steps with my faith. And every time I get to the lowest low, God would come through every time. Every time. God supernaturally blew my mind one time. One time, a lot of times. But this is the first time he blew my mind. See, I'm learning to stand on his promises. And God said he will supply my needs according to his riches and glory. He said, "John, I'm with you. I never leave you nor forsake you." Okay? When the goosebumps is gone, you begin to look around and see where is God at. But then one day, I didn't have the goosebumps. But I just had the audacity to go out. I don't know why I did this. To this day, I don't know why. But I was impressed. It was impressed in me. Go out into the woods and just pray. So where we were staying at, it was some woods across the road. So I went out there and I was praying. Oh, Jesus, God, we got needs, Lord. I got to feed my family, Lord. God, I tell you, Lord Jesus, God, I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. Lord, your word said you would supply my need. God, you said you never leave me nor forsake. God, you said, I'll just send back to God what he has said to me. And it was just like somebody tapped me on the shoulder. And I looked around. And I got up and I went back to the house. But this time I ran around the back because the way her dad's house was where we were staying, he had a garden in the back. Now, my wife can attest to this. I'm not lying to you, okay? He had plied that garden up. And when I got through praying and I got up and I'm just going to walk around the house. You know, because I'm praying, talking to God. God, what are we going to do? Lord, we got to have some food. It was some of the biggest, pretty head of cabbage in that garden. Two of them. And I said, Now, I'm from the country. I know how to cut a cabbage head. So I went and got them cabbage heads. And I took them to my wife. She said, where'd you get this? I said, back there in the garden. She said, honey, daddy done plied that garden up. Am I lying? Huh? Come, just tell the truth. Am I lying? I can't hear you. Okay. See, because I know some people thinking, John done lost it. He done lost it. No. I'm telling you, it was two big cabbage heads back there. And them was some of the best cabbage I ever ate in my life. And I took them to my wife, and she knew how to make cornbread on top of the stove, you know, to go with that cabbage. You know, it's okay, honey. We done made it through now. It's okay. See, I mean, no, people need to hear what God has done. Amen. I'm going to give you some hope today because you can stand on the promise of God. Amen. And she got to whooping up that car. I mean, that was a good meal. I was full. I was able to go to work on the third shift that night with some good food in my belly. And people will talk you out of what God has told you to do if you're not careful. This is why when Abraham understood God, you read through the Bible, it's always about Abraham. Why? Because Abraham was the friend of God. But do you not know, because Abraham believed God, God counted it, or he reckoned to him as righteousness. And that word reckons means to be added to your account. A favor that has been given to you. And what Jesus Christ did for us is He consummated the covenant of God when he shedded his blood on the cross, and when he resurrected out of the grave, that was a guarantee that what the word of God is saying to us, there is a guarantee that it will work if we'll work it. Say, and that word reckon, when I begin to look at that word, it means to add to your account. Now, let me tell you this. I know I've got to close here. But let me tell you this. Read that whole chapter. But what that word reckon means. See, when Abraham believed God, he had faith in God. And when he believed God, God reckoned to him as righteousness. In other words, Abraham became so close to God to where he understood that now God, it's up to you to take care of me because I'm giving myself to you. It's the right that God has on my life why I do what I do. See, I'm not doing it to get favor. Favor has already been given. That's why it's been reckoned to our account. How many know that if you go to the bank, amen, and they tell you, look here, sir, I don't understand this. I don't know what happened, but I see in your account that you have $14 million. Listen now, come on now. Do you not know that it's been reckoned to you that the God of the universe of heaven and earth has already put stuff in your account? Your faith got to draw it out. Oh, glory to God. You got to begin to take faith and draw out of your account what God has put in your account. And what God has put in your account is the promises of God. And they are yes and amen. Do you not know? Let me tell you this right quick, okay? Go back and read that. I don't have time to break it all down, to unfold all this to you. But do you not know the word believe is a word that give credit to. In the Hebrew, the word translated believe, now catch this, in Hebrew, the word translated believe means to say amen. To say amen. Now, you look in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says that the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. So be it. If God said it, guess what? So be it. See, your account is running over with stuff that you ain't even asked God for. You know why? Because you hadn't got in the book. You hadn't got in the wheel to figure out what God has for you. But it's all in here. If we would just get in it and begin to read it, we'll see that some of the stuff that we face in life, God has already paid for us to have victory, but we don't know what it says. So we're steady trying to row our boats against the streams of life and getting frustrated. Hollering, it don't work. You know why it don't work? Because you ain't working the word. See, we have access by faith into the things of God. You said, brother, what if it don't look right? The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. Amen. It is impossible for you to please God without faith. Amen. So you might as well get in the Word of God and begin to build your faith up. Quit praying for faith and get in the Word, because the Bible said faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You can pray, but how many know you need to know what the Word say to have faith? So what we got to understand is I'm standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promise, surrounded by his goodness. Standing on the promise, I'm surrounded by his goodness. You know what? The devil try to say, oh, you ain't gonna make it. But you know what? I'm standing on a promise. Let me tell you something. The promise that we can bank on and the promise that we need to get hooked up with is the promise of the Holy Ghost. See, it's a promise. And through the Holy Spirit, he's gonna show us what's been freely given to us. See, it's not about works. That's what Paul said in Ephesians. Said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. As you read this, do you not know that Abraham could not boast because it wasn't by works? See, if it was by works, he had something to boast about. But Abraham couldn't even boast. You know why? Because he realized it was given to me by favor of God. See, and I would rather have favor than all these other things the world is trying to tell us. We got to do this, do that, do all this. No, I ain't got to do that. I just need to do what God tell me to do. I got to read the Word of God. Let me give you this last scripture. Look at verse 20, okay? Look at verse 20. It says, yet with respect of the promise of God, he did not waver in what? Unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. That word glory there, giving praise to God, and being fully assured, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, also it was reckoned, put in his account to him as righteousness. See, and the righteousness that God said, because Abraham believed, God gave, it was reckoned for righteousness. Righteousness, he's not talking about right deeds here. He's talking about right relationship, right standing with God. In other words, Abraham understood that I belong to God and God belonged to me. God is going to protect me whatever I go through. Whatever the flu, whatever the sickness is going through, God has promised to his church that I am with you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I will bless you. I will keep you. I will never forsake you. To the end of this age, I will be with you. But as a believer, it is up to us to build on the promises of God. Now, I don't have time to go through this. I'm stopping right here. Amen? Amen. Now, y'all go and read the rest of that chapter. And I'm telling you, build on the promises of God, because they are yes and amen. God bless you.
I feel the heat. Well, how many of you got enough of that? I didn't either. Let's have some more next week. I want to hear some more of them stories, too, about Miss Faye. No, that's good.
She already squirming back at you.
Oh, no.
Great word, brother.
Thank you, Pastor.
Great word. And it comes out of life. And we want to make sure that we hang on, standing in the place where he has put us. And as long as we have a promise that we're activated with, we'll have a place to jump from. And what I mean by that is when you stand on a promise, it will cause you to take a leap of faith. And that's what we need to do. We really need to jump forward, even though we're uncertain about what this is, but we have this that we're standing on. Amen? Mm-hmm. Make sure you get a card for the soldiers and fill it out. You can take it home and bring it back, or you can fill it out today and just drop it in the box. I want you to stand to your feet. Thank you so much, brother. You did a wonderful job. I'm looking forward to hearing part two next Sunday. Will we do that? Let's see. Pastor Terry Wilson, can you come up just a minute? I really do appreciate him. I was looking for Pastor Charlie, and Pastor, you'd stepped out, and I was looking around to see where all the piano players were, and he just moved right up and went to the keyboard. Come on up. You like Andre Crouch?
Yeah,
me too. You know the song that I want you to... and we'll close on it. Through it all. Well, do you know the key of it? The one I know is off. Through it all?
Probably E flat if it's Andre Crouch. I'll figure it out.
Okay. I sing it. How many of you know that song? Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Y'all know that? Hmm.
Put man on the spot, won't you?
Yeah. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned. learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word. Let's do it again. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. One more time and we'll go home. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Father, thank You so much for the wonderful opportunities that You've given us, Your people. Even when the things we can't see, we have evidence because we have hope and we have faith. The evidence of things not seen, we're going to be walking on those things, Your promises. We love You, we worship You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Young adults, if age is what? 18 to 39. Meet right over here for about 5 or 10 minutes. God bless you guys. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.